You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to this week's edition of Assembly Call Radio, where each week we discuss the most important topics in the world of Indiana basketball. This is our 236th edition of Assembly Call Radio, and it is our 748th episode overall of the Assembly Call, recorded on the evening of November 18th, 2021. I am your host, the coach, Brian Tonsoni. And let's begin this edition of the Assembly Call, how we begin every edition of the Assembly Call, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment.
And Indiana is the national champion.
When it comes down, Indiana will be champion.
Smart takes a shot.
The Hoosiers have won the national championship.
This week's banner moment occurred just last night in Bloomington when the Indiana Hoosiers defeated St. John 76-74. We discussed the game in detail on the post-game show, but one of the best things about last night was the energy of the crowd. It has been quite a while since we had a team play with the level of excitement that this year's Hoosiers are playing with. Basketball is special inside Assembly Hall, but it's very special when the crowd roars, for example, when Race Thompson steals the ball, goes down the court, and dunks the ball. St. John players commented afterwards that they had difficulty hearing each other talk and communicate, and they had difficulty even hearing their own thoughts. So, fans, when you're in attendance at Assembly Hall, let's make this just the beginning of bringing Assembly Hall back to the toughest place to play in the Big Ten. Indiana basketball deserves to be back, and so does Assembly Hall, full of fans like you and I. Okay, let me introduce my esteemed co-host for tonight. First up to my left, he is the man behind the Twitter account at IU Artifacts, and more importantly, the man behind one of the most extensive collections of IU sports memorabilia anywhere. And as we learned earlier this week, he even has a mannequin at home that he dresses in different vintage IU uniforms. That's legendary. He is Chris Williams. Chris, you were in the arena last night. Talk to us about how it felt. Did it feel any different in Mike Woodson's first big game as coach of the Indiana Hoosiers?
Yeah, it was kind of rekindling an old friendship that you haven't seen for a while. It's one of the – you still get chills walking in. I mentioned this a while back that if you walk in the south entrance, you open the door and the big burst of air hits you in the face, it's just one of those little things that you remember. And – you know, you hear Sweet Georgia Brown being played and Basket Case being played and the pep bands roar and the students are going, great crowd. I mean, it's about as good as you can get unless you're hosting a major Big Ten foe, Michigan, Purdue. And it was good. And I tell you, I have not heard a roar for the head coach walking out of the tunnel onto the floor like I have for Woodson. I mean, it was – I mean, even mid to late 90s, Knight didn't get a reception like that. It was just overwhelming. I mean, Crean didn't get anything like that. Archie, Kelvin Sampson just didn't get anything like that. It was just it was a different feeling. It was one of those feelings that, you know, for IU fans, we haven't felt in a while. And it was one of those, again, there were a lot of full body chill moments last night, partly because I hadn't been there for a long time, well over a year. I mean, Coach, last time you and I were at a game was close to the very end before things changed. So, you know, but it was great to be back. It was one of those great moments. You saw so many kids being there with their parents. The students brought it like they do every game, especially for a big game like this. It was a great evening for basketball all around.
That's exciting. I'm going to have an opportunity to be in Assembly Hall, you know, on Sunday. I got some media credentials. I'm looking forward to being back. It's going to be hard for me not to stand and cheer because you're supposed to be professional, I guess, when you got free media. But and next up, to my right.
All you other voices get out of the way, because Ryan's got 100,000 things to say. The shot doctor's going to go off on Coach K, how the Big Ten refs screw up every day. He's a senior writer for the Big Lead. His Majesty's words are the elixir we need. The only problem is he won't concede the mic to other voices, even if they agree. Analyzing players, finding every wrinkle. He hasn't ever hosted, never lifted a finger. He's got all the
answers. Well, let me quickly add just one thing about this.
Dude just interrupted his own jingle.
Ryan, main man, what is your opening rant this week?
It just feels so much better to do this after a win. Not the post-game show, but the weekly radio show, too. And you got the team 3-0. If you didn't see my article today at The Big Lead, please go over there and check it out about Mike Woodson and where he's got this program headed. And I just felt last night with that crowd and the way that, you know, everything played out, that it just feels like there's hope in Bloomington again for the first time in a really long time. I don't know when the last time I felt that level of hope was, even towards the end of the Crean era when they won a Big Ten title. It was almost like you were waiting for the other shoe to drop the whole time. It feels like this program is finally moving forward after being stuck in the mud for a really long time. I recommend anyone go read that. I really put a lot into that because as a fan and a guy who, you know, is an analyst, I think that it was an interesting combination of things last night. The team looked like a top 15 team in the first half, did not look that way in the second half, managed to still find a way to win and beat what I think is going to be a pretty tough opponent during the season. I think St. John's is going to be pretty darn good. It was encouraging. There's a lot to build on here, though. And over the next few games, they got to fix a lot of things, and they got to fix, you know, when they get a lead, not letting teams come back on them. And so I think that's the next evolution here, is not only just start well, but in the second half, you got to close well and you got to start the second half right. And you got to not let an opponent close that gap. And then you look at the recruiting stuff and it's a lot of positives too. So it just feels like the program is slowly starting to get on track and hopefully it keeps up. We've been fooled before, but there just seems to be something different this time that feels very positive and some momentum heading in the right direction.
I agree. There's just something, both of you mentioned different things, but it just feels like old times. And I know it's only three games in, but you know, let's keep that vibe going. Here's what we're going to cover this week. We're going to talk a little bit more IU St. John's talk. Chris was in the building. I was not on the post game show. I got a few thoughts on IU versus St. John's. Segment two is going to be Gabe Cupp's scouting report. Real excited about this young man being an Indiana Hoosier. I can't wait to dive into some film and do that. That's usually Ryan and Tony Adranya's job now. But I want to go watch it. That's exciting. And then, again, the community members did a great job. We actually had way too many questions today. We're going to pare some back. Please don't be upset with us if we don't get to your question. But you're doing a great job of bringing us material. So all that is coming up this week on Assembly Call Radio. This edition of Assembly Call Radio is presented by our friends at Homefield Apparel. And in case you missed it, they just did a brand refresh for Indiana that includes three fantastic new designs, each of which would be a great Christmas present for the IU fan in your life, in your family. They also released a red t-shirt with the IDS logo emblazoned on it and are pledging 100% of the proceeds to the IDS, which has been struggling financially. So make that a consideration as well. Also remember, first-time customers can get 15% off with our promo code HOME. That's H-O-M-E for 15% off at checkout at homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team.
Did you just order another shirt from Home Field Apparel?
Yes, Mrs. Tonsoni, I actually ordered two this week, and so should all of you. Go order two this week and order two next week. Thanks, Home Field Apparel, for all that you do. Okay, back to the Hoosier headlines. Some IU St. John's takeaways. Chris, I'm going to come to you. You talked a little bit about the roar for Mike Woodson. You talked about the atmosphere of getting in, the students being there. But let's talk a little bit about the action on the court. What kind of takeaways do you have from last night's ball game?
The first thing that was really obvious is that Trace is much more of a vocal leader this year. It's his team. I think that's pretty much a given, considering if you're going to come back for a third year and Woodson's to work on and you're going to put your heart and soul into it, it's your team. It seemed to me that he was, especially vocal on inbounds plays, especially vocal mounts, which was great to see. I think that's something that we've kind of missed, is the identity of a floor leader. Doesn't always have to be the point guard. We can obviously talk about Xavier Johnson in a few minutes, but that was the key thing for me, is his presence was just so much more lively. I thought that he kind of got apathetic in games in the last couple of years at times. And so that was a refreshing thing to see out of the gate. But the with this team, as we saw last night, you know, losing a lead like that, is being able to get out ahead and get to a strong start, ride the wave of the fan base. Obviously, you mentioned this, coach, about the St. John's players talking about the experience of being in Assembly Hall with a fan, feeling like they're on top of the players, and the players feel that kind of claustrophobia there. That was key. I thought we did a really good job possibly kind of breaking their press, which really they kind of locked down in the second half. It seemed to me when the ejection happened, things kind of turned on a dime, and they used that momentum and kind of cut into the lead, really. And at half, it should have been twice of what it was. The first thing about Trace really stood out, but I thought overall, and we kind of talked to this before the show, coach, it was interesting. It was kind of like they were in a slow motion scenario when they broke the press, which I asked you if it was similar to what we saw with Shaka, the Havoc scenario. It was almost like we weren't sure what to do sometimes when with the ball, especially when we had numbers, and we shots fall, but we also saw some forced shots that quickly allowed, you know, St. John's to go back into transition the other way, and they kind of rode that situation. But I'm still, I think the shots are going to have to keep falling. They're going to have to keep shooting. I mean, we're expecting Parker Stewart and Miller Kopp to be out there to shoot. They're not going to be the best defenders on the floor, so they have to be out there for shooting purposes. If you think about a guy like Matt Roth and Nick years past, that was their job. Their job was not to be a lockdown defender. Their job was to be a scorer. So that was the key for me, is still waiting for Kopp, who I thought played a great game, to kind of turn the corner, and Parker Stewart. But overall, it was a gutsy win, and they pulled it out. I haven't seen that in the past couple of years.
Yeah, Ryan, I'd like to come back to you. I have not had a chance to read your article about Woodson, but I thought Woodson had a good game last night, but I thought there was some areas that he needs to work on, some late game substitutions, and you talked about substitution patterns overall, and he even admitted much in the post game that he has some things to continue to learn, and I take that as a positive. You know, it is a different game. He's a good, solid coach. He knows what he's doing, but the college game might take him a little time to adjust. Your thoughts after a night off and thinking about the your article?
Yeah, last night I did say after the game I thought that there were some issues with his substitution patterns and leaving Trace Jackson Davis in for 37 minutes and not stealing minutes for him at different points and playing him the entire second half. I still stand by that. I think that he's got to find ways to get his best players breaks. He's also coming from a league his entire coaching career where he's got 48 minutes to play with. A guy plays 37 minutes in a 48-minute game. It's a little different than playing 37 and 40. And so I do think he needs to adjust his substitution patterns. He needs to trust his bench more. There was no reason for Jordan Geronimo to only play 8 minutes last night or whatever. I think it was 8 minutes. That guy needs to play more. And so the problem I had with Woody last night, and again, it's a minor complaint given the macro of the program, but in game, this is something to monitor, is he had Race Thompson, Trace Jackson Davis, and some other guys out there for huge stretches of times with no breathers, no timeouts. They got the media timeouts, and that was it. And things started to go badly, and it was clear that they were missing out on hustle plays. They were missing out on rebounds. They weren't blocking out. They were doing simple things you don't do, or you do when you are tired, and things you don't do when you are focused and have all your energy. I watched the game back last night. There were clear stretches where those guys were tired and needed a break. And so he's got to get better at recognizing that. Now, look, they won the game. It's a minor complaint, but it's one of those things where he did the same thing against Eastern Michigan. And so you've got to make sure it doesn't become a pattern. You've got to watch that back and realize, hey, and it's also on the players too, to say, if you're gassed, I mean, players never want to come out, but if you're gassed, you know, raise your hand, say, I need a break. So, you know, a veteran player like Trace knows that. He knows that he's dragging. And so again, at the end, I mentioned it last night, they sort of got a second win late, but you know, if they were fresh and they maybe got some fresh bodies in there, maybe they don't give up all those points and give up the lead a couple times late. So I think that was the only complaint I had. I thought the offense moved well. You knock down a few more shots, it's an easier win. They got to make free throws. I think that they will make more free throws. I have more confidence in this team than any team in the last few years to make free throws. I think they'll be fine. I think they just had a bad night. But those are the big glaring things that came out. There were guys tired and dragging, and I thought pretty obviously tired and dragging, and the coach didn't recognize it and pull him out. He's got to get better at recognizing that. And his bench, to be fair, his bench needs to point that out to him too.
And I think they did in saying get Geronimo in late. My thought, too, was get free throw shooters in late. You had Tamar was 0-for-2 at the time. Xavier had just missed one, and those were the guys who were going to get the inbound with 8 seconds. But we as coaches, we evaluate that stuff all the time. I thought it was a really good effort because I think St. John's is really good, and that Havoc press wears you out. And St. John's shot making allowed them to get into the press, which was different than the first half. So yeah, I don't necessarily look at it. Yes, Indiana needs to do a better job closing out games and keeping leads. I agree with that. But I also think St. John's had a heck of a lot to do with it, with the way they play. They're going to win a lot of games coming up. And it's just a different feel. It looks different offensively. It looks different defensively. There's a lot more energy. And there are going to be games where Indiana struggles. But I feel this was so much different than game one, where when you struggle a little bit against a solid opponent, that's a little bit understandable. So, okay, coming up on Assembly Call Radio, it's time for Ryan's scouting report on the newest Indiana commit, Gabe Cups. How important is he at a building block for the Mike Woodson era? Find out next here on The Assembly Call.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's going on? It's Christian Wofford. What's the only thing better than an epic buzzer beater? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join my guys, Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU game. Go Hoosiers.
Welcome back to Assembly Call Radio. Tonight, I'm excited to announce a new sponsor for this main segment of Assembly Call Radio. And just like all our other sponsors, they started out as either friends of the show or IU diehards just like us. It's the Superior Insulators, owned by longtime listener and IU season ticket holder Brad. With winter right around the corner, the timing is perfect to tell you about their high-performance insulation and air barrier systems for both residential and commercial. And their work is high quality because they have their air barrier systems and spray foam used in IU Excellence Academy. They also worked on the IU football locker room, marching 100 hall, and many other buildings on campus. So visit insulators.com to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's insulators.com, I-N. SEALATORS.com to learn more. And thank you, Brad, for your continued support of our show. So now it's Ryan Phillips' time. Chris and I are going to sit back and fire off some questions on IU's most recent commitment, Gabe Cupps, which I believe to be an Indiana type of player. And so, Ryan, first question, what are the strengths of this young man? He's got a couple years of high school left before he comes on campus, but what are the strong points of Gabe Cupps' game?
Well, for those who don't know, he's a four-star. According to 24/7 Sports, he's ranked number 88 in the nation. He's about a 6'1", 6'2 point guard, about 170 pounds soaking wet, maybe. Really needs to add some weight. The strengths that I see are leadership. The kid's a vocal leader on the floor. He gets everybody into what they need to be into. He is, you know, a tough kid. He's the first one to pop up and say something, you know, after a play. He's the first one to, you know, sort of lead the offense and tell people where to be. Son of a coach, all those cliches that go along with being the son of a head coach are present here. The thing that jumped off to me that he's really good at on both sides of the ball, one side, defensively, he is a sincerely dedicated defender. He will get up on a guy. He's not super athletic, but he works his tail off defensively. Will get right up into guys. Will, you know, try and guide them off their path, do whatever it can. He'll take a charge. He is going to be a pest to play against. You know, the kind of guy that, you know how when Indiana would play Ohio State and they had Aaron Kraft and he was just annoying? He's that guy defensively. You do not want to face him. Since he's not super athletic, there are some flaws in his defensive game. I mean, he's a little over aggressive sometimes and can get beat, you know, if a guy gets past him, but he can work on that. The short area quickness, things like that can be developed. Offensively, his best attribute is he's an excellent ball handler who does not turn the ball over. He is in command of the ball. He's not a guy who's going to beat people off the dribble, off the bounce. He's not quick enough yet. He might get there. He certainly has that potential. He's only a junior, just starting his junior year of high school. But he's not going to blow by athletic players. But what he can do is he moves the ball. He gets the ball in the right spot, swings the ball, reverses the ball, doesn't take 3 seconds to figure out where the ball needs to go, doesn't stand there dribbling while waiting for something to happen. He gets the ball moving, gets it around the perimeter, swings the ball. When he does drive, he looks for guys cutting back door. He's got great vision. It's just a matter of he needs to be able to go north and south offensively. He's not really there yet. Against lesser players, he's fine. He can blow right by him. But against, you know, the kind of players he's going to face in the Big Ten, he's not there yet. Needs to get there. And I think added strength, maybe some added quickness, being in a college weight program will help him with that. So those are the two main strengths that stood out for me. We can get into some more stuff that he does, but I'll let Chris go ahead and fire off a question.
So he's on the same team as LeBron James's kid. I think it's Team Blue Chips, if I'm not mistaken. But obviously that's, you know, everybody's seen like that video that's been posted around with, you know, LeBron, you know, doing knockout when he was 14. But, you know, you talk about his basketball IQ. Do you see him, you know, he's probably a star on that team, but do you think he's the kind of guy that is going to be expected to be a superstar player, even at a point guard position? Or do you think he's the guy that will always be understanding of what his role is going to be? Or do you see him kind of growing into more of an offensive threat when he comes to IU?
I think that it's going to be interesting to see how his development progresses, but I would think that he'll know what his role is when he gets on campus, because he's again, son of a coach. They understand that a team needs a lot of moving parts. It doesn't need 10 superstars. It needs guys to play their roles. He's definitely a four-year player. Like, this is not a guy who will be leaving for the NBA early. And so maybe he becomes a star by his fourth year, a Big Ten college star. I don't see like a huge NBA upside here, just because of the lack of athleticism and stuff like that. And again, he's not a bad athlete. He's athletic, but he's not like going to scare anybody with his athleticism. And that's fine. Guys who don't scare you with their athleticism can be wildly successful. Jordan Hall's is making a very nice living as a basketball player without being a jump out of the gym athlete. So those guys, that's not a knock on him. that he knows what he's playing with and he does a really good job with it. But I think, yeah, he's a guy who sticks around for 4 years. If he continues to get better, he could certainly, you know, develop into, you know, an all Big Ten guy if he's knocking down shots. I mean, that's the thing about it. A lot of people talk about his shooting, and he's a good shooter. He's not a great knockdown shooter who's going at this point, who's going to just bomb you from three all day. He shoots about 35%. For what he does offensively, he needs to knock that up to about 40%. Now, he's plenty of time to figure that out and get better. The one knock on his shot I have is that, well, as we've talked about with some guys, his feet are not pointed at the basket. They are slanted to the left, and you know, he's sort of left side forward. They're slanted to the left with his right side leaning forward. And also, as he brings the ball, as he gathers, he kind of tucks his elbow really far in, almost like pushing it all the way to the middle, but maybe a little too far, where he's kind of working against it as he follows through. So he really takes keep your elbows in to an extreme there. He does tuck it in right to the middle of his chest, and then he fires it. Now, he gets great rotation on the ball, and his release looks really good. I think as he gets stronger, that the extreme tuck will maybe loosen up a bit, and it'll be more smooth. You've seen that with guys like in the NBA, Lonzo Ball used to have the ball on this side of his face and kind of fling it across. And as he got stronger, he stopped doing that. Why? Because he didn't need to anymore. So you add strength, I think that you get rid of some of those quirks with the shot. But the shot goes in at 35% right now, about roughly 35, 33, which is not bad. But he needs to take it to another level, given that he's not going to blow by guys on the dribble at this point. He needs to be able to catch the ball and shoot. And he is a catch and shoot guy more than a, you know, dribble into a shot guy. So, and again, we're talking about a guy who's a junior. By next year, he could be a completely different player, much better, more well-rounded and all that. But yeah, I think the big thing that I'm worried about as far as being a point guard in the Big Ten is just his inability right now to create off the dribble against athletic players. Mm-hmm. Could get quicker, could get better with that first step. But the strength is that he is a ball mover who analyzes defenses quickly and gets the ball where it needs to be. He's great at finding guys on backdoor cuts. He's great at, you know, a competent leader. When he brings the ball up, he's not, you know, scrambling to find a spot. He's very confident in his ability to bring the ball up. So that stands out the most right now.
So if we go through his 4 years at IU, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, what kind of path do you see? Do you see any, to me, he seems like a 4-year guy. Yeah, where do you see him in some ways, junior, sophomore, I mean, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year?
Yeah, I think he's a bench guy his freshman year, and certainly, you know, he'll be, I mean, Jalen Hood-Schifino will be here, you know, like hopefully being a, you know, and so I think that you've got, that's your point guard, and he comes off the bench and provides energy. The thing he does a lot of is he just provides energy and activity too, and people will feed off of that. Guy who will step in and take a charge, guy who will, you know, scramble on defense and dive on the floor, and he makes up for any of deficiencies in athleticism with activity. I mean, he's very much an active player. But I think as a freshman, yeah, he's a bench guy, maybe on the second unit leading it. Sophomore year, probably one of the top bench guys because you need a great guard coming off the bench early. Junior year, he should be starting by then. And senior year, he should be solid as a starter. And you know, and this is on an ideal progression. He should, by his senior year, be starting and leading the team and have improved enough where he's a dangerous player on the floor. Yeah, go ahead with another one, Chris, by the way.
Yeah, so I did some digging on him and then yesterday when I heard about it. And, you know, there's another guy that is brought up that has an offer from Indiana, which is Reed Shepherd, which is one of his teammates.
Yeah.
And he's more of a shooting guard, very highly rated in it right now, but again, a younger guy. Do we see that as those two kind of being a package deal? They've kind of expressed some interest in playing together, but a realistic thing that could happen, and or could that be a situation where we have like a, you know, conflicting situation with Hood-Schifino coming as well?
I think Indiana would be very happy if Shepherd came to Indiana. He's a phenomenal player, but his dad played at Kentucky and led them to a national title. So Jeff Shepherd. So I think everybody expects him to go to Kentucky. He is incredibly talented, would be a great pickup. And that kid, he's fun to watch. Go check out his highlight tape on YouTube and then be really upset that he's probably going to wind up at Kentucky. But yeah, those guys have talked about wanting to play together. And those package deals rarely actually work out, sadly. I mean, guys want to do that, but they wind up going to the place that's best for them. And Shepherd is one heck of a player, and he's rated appropriately, very highly. And it's going to be a bummer when he's spending a couple years in Lexington. But I think that's almost a done deal. I would love for him to go to Indiana, but I think that's a done deal.
So there's a pattern here, Ryan. See if you agree with this or not, that we're getting a bunch of guys that are going to be 2-3-4 year guys. They all have a little bit of defensive nastiness to them, and they all seem to really have bought into the Indiana basketball that Coach Woodson is selling. Agree with that? And this kid just thinks Indiana basketball, smells Indiana, looks Indiana basketball to me.
You know how seeing Miller Kopp on the floor makes you feel like you're watching Indiana in like the early 90s? You know, just watching him move on the floor and in that, the way he wears that uniform. Kupps is an Indiana guy. Like, it just fits the classic Indiana vibe. And yes, the fact that he is committing in the very beginning of his junior year, just like Ja'Kai Newton, that says something. They're buying into what Indiana is selling. Now, that class has started very well. 2023 has started very well. You have hit two needs. You got a wing, shooting guard type, and possibly small forward given his Newton's length, and you got a point guard. Now you got to find the big guy and possibly another wing. So I think that's what you're looking at in for the 2023 class. But yes, the fact that those guys are committing early and saying, I'm done, I'm shutting down recruiting, this is what I want, is a big deal, because it says that whatever Mike Woodson and his staff are selling, people are buying and really liking. So what you got from Cubs, just to sum up, certainly a four-year point guard, vocal leader, took Centerville to a state title as a sophomore, and he distributes and runs the offense well, finds open players, makes sure the ball keeps moving, needs to continue improving that shot from deep. He's got to hit 40%. Given his skill set, he's got to hit 40% from deep. And again, just an active defender who is quicker than he looks and will be just a pest, just an absolute pest to play against. The kind of guy you love on your team and hate when you're playing against him.
That bodes well. So thanks, Ryan, for that. Coming up here in our third segment, we'll answer your questions as we always do. So stick around with us here on the Assembly Call.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ethan Happ, and I never listen to the Assembly Call, especially the episodes that Ryan is on.
Fair enough, Ethan. You're going to have a hard time watching your Badgers anyway this year, so you know, might want to start tuning in to Assembly Call Radio. Hi, I'm the coach, Brian Tonsoni, here with Chris Williams, IU Artifacts, Ryan Phillips of the Big Lead. It's pretty fun doing this show after a few years of struggling and off-season stuff when IU's 3-0. So it's now time for our mailbag. All questions were submitted via our private IU basketball discussion community, which you can learn more about and join at assemblycall.com/community. And here we go. Valerie asks, do you think we'll be ranked Monday, assuming a Sunday win? We'll go Chris first and then Ryan.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be – we'll creep in there. It depends on if we have any significant losses toward the bottom end. But, yeah, I think if we win the games we're expected to, I don't think that we're going to be wowed by – Sunday, you know, it's a game we're supposed to win. We built those into the schedule for a reason. We've seen that happen in the past. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It was a gutty win on a national stage in that kind of arrangement between the Big Ten. So I would say, yeah, probably 23-25 range.
Yeah, I would agree, especially because St. John's was also in the others receiving votes of Virginia Tech's ahead of Indiana, but Ohio State lost tonight, so they'll drop down. I mean, they lost to Xavier, who's not bad, but I think they'll drop down. Vautech could move up. Like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't really been paying attention to how everybody in that group's done, but St. John's was also in the others receiving votes, and Indiana was second in that category. So usually they just move up. And so some teams lost. I think Indiana will move up. I think they'll be in the back half of the top 25, back end of the top 25.
And if you don't like where Indiana falls in the AP, you can always go to the community and look at the Assembly Call Top 25, which Coach Adranya, Coach Marlowe, and Coach Tonsoni put together. And two of us had Indiana ranked before the St. John's win. We won't mention, the name of Coach Marlowe, who didn't have the top 25, Indiana in the top five. Maybe he'll join us. Oh, sorry, Coach. I just gave that away. But, yeah, I do think that IU will be ranked and should be ranked. I think they're doing a good job. Here, a couple questions we're going to kind of combine. Hooperazzi Joel asks, how do you expect the rotation to change with Trey being out due to his injury? Coach Marlowe, with another good question, says Galloway was getting 18 minutes per night with him expected to be out for the foreseeable future. How do you see those minutes distributed, Ryan? Galloway was a guy that Coach liked for a variety of reasons.
Yep.
Did a lot of non-stat things. How would you replace those 18 or so minutes?
Well, I think you saw with Tamar Bates playing more. I think that's certainly going to be a spot he can slide into. And I think Christian Lander is going to have to play more, quite frankly, because you're going to need another ball handler. I mean, Galloway is a really good ball handler and can move the ball around the floor, can find holes, can cut through. I think it makes Indiana stronger in the end because I think that you're going to have to get some of that bench depth. Rob Finnessy is going to have to step up a little bit as well and play better. But I mean, from a strictly a replacement factor, I think you're going to have to see Tamar Bates take on a little bit of a different role off the wing, and you know, a little more of a driving role than maybe a taking screens and looking, you know, to hunt shots role. And I think that you're going to have to see Christian Lander get some more time because you got to fill that depth. And so, yeah, I think it's an opportunity for guys to step up and get a chance. And maybe it's only 8 minutes a game for Lander, but I think he's going to get a chance.
Chris, your thoughts on who replaces Galloway?
Yeah, you may start to see some bigger lineups and Geronimo getting more minutes. Obviously, he's not going to be the ball handler, like Ryan said. But I think that he presents definitely more of a score option. I'm not buying in on his 3-point shooting quite yet. I still think it's streaky. They said he's improving tremendously like that, but I think Bates
form is good.
The thing that worries me about Bates is his form is great. The thing that worries me about Bates is that, you know, we kind of alluded to the minutes. We've seen so many freshmen just fall flat halfway through the Big Ten season. Yep. Because they just get gassed the first semester. And, you know, I think about a guy, you know, I'm going back to the awful years and early years of guy like Tom Pritchard, who went double-double game after game after game, was just nowhere to be found in the Big Ten. And again, we had no talent on a lot of those teams. You know, we've seen it so many times with these freshmen that come in and, you know, they want to be playmakers. They want to be instant guys that are going to be sparks. But I mean, we got to allocate. I mean, you went 11 deep last night for a reason, because you had the talent, and obviously Galloway is going to be out for the foreseeable future. But yeah, Rob was kind of non-existent last night. And I think, you know, whether he's not 100% or not, who knows? There's some speculation about that, but he's got to be a guy that, you know, is staying out of foul trouble, that's a lockdown defender, and he's got to hit open shots. So, you know, it was pleasant to see a guy like Lander come in and in positive minutes, look poised out there. And I agree with Ryan on what he said, that, you know, he's got to be the next man up kind of situation. It can't be, what are we going to do? It's, we know what the plan is, who we're going to bring in.
I think those are all good suggestions of who fills those minutes. The question is, can anyone fill what Galloway does best, which is, you know, really push the pace, get out in transition.
Yeah.
Geronimo's not that kind of guy. I could see him getting those minutes. Bates is probably the closest to that ability, but he doesn't have the experience and maybe the understanding yet that Galloway had. I think you'll see a lot more of two point guards in, because they can do a variety of things. So it'll be interesting to see the combination. And I think it might be matchup dependent. If it's bigger teams, you could put Geronimo at the three and keep Miller Kopp at the three. If not, you might need to move Parker Stewart down and have some other combinations. So Jim asked this, would really like you guys to discuss the issue he raised in a thread on Ryan's article. What, if anything, is different about this 3-0 start than other recent 3-0 starts? It not a question of whether it's sustainable or not, because no one really knows, but if it were, what's going to allow it to be sustainable? If it's not, what would be the reason? So what's our gut feeling, I guess, about this program being 3-0? We had other versions of Indiana be 3-0. What's different, Chris, in your mind?
I think the attitude, I think we've already alluded to this, but the attitude and the morale is there. The players don't look lost on the floor. They're not playing a complicated defense that they don't understand. They're not running offensive sets working. They have a genuine appreciation. They're buying into the fact that our coach understands Indiana basketball and wants us to embrace it. And we haven't had that for a long time. You know, it's one of those things where I think it's just, if you have a better attitude on the floor and you have vocal leaders on the floor who are actually holding people accountable in the game, then I think that makes the difference. I think this season, obviously, we have the games we're supposed to win and they're under the schedule for a reason, but I don't see anything that's going to, you know, the St. John's game was the one game I think that we were really concerned about. And it was a gutty performance that we didn't look good at times, but we won the game. And so I think going into what we have in the foreseeable future, yeah, we're supposed to win the games where we are supposed to, not see us kind of go from start to finish a little bit more consistent. But yeah, the morale's better, the attitude's better, and you can see it on the floor and on the bench.
Yeah, I echo what Chris says. It's the attitude, it's the personality, it's the comfort in their own skin. This team is comfortable in its own skin. They're having fun. I mean, the first half, how many smiles were there on that floor? How much excitement was there on that floor? Now, they got to carry that through to the second half, and they came out very flat at half. I don't know whatever Mike Woodson did at halftime, do the opposite. Like, you know, they came out very flat, very, you know, and look, they're college kids. You get up 12, you get up 14, you tend to relax, and that's the wrong thing to do, but it happens. It just happens. That's why there's comebacks in college basketball. That's why college basketball is exciting. That's why we love it, because that stuff happens. But you've got to come out focused with that same energy you had the first half. But the thing that's encouraging is the momentum, not only on the court and the progress on the court, but also off of it. You're seeing assistant coaches want to stay here for a long time, like Kenya Hunter. You're seeing guys move here. You're seeing the recruiting successes they're having. Class of 2023 is almost locked up, guys, and it's November of 2021. You know, you need two more guys. You might get that in the next few months. I don't know. But so I think it's just the consistent success off the floor, and then you're seeing it on the floor. You're seeing the change to a more exciting brand of basketball, to a defensive unit that's playing so much better. You're just, it feels different. It just does. There's a vibe that's different. The crowd in that arena last night felt a different vibe than they felt for a long time. And so that's why it feels, this 3-0 start feels different. Now, are they going to go undefeated? No, they're going to lose. They're going to struggle. They're going to have parts where we come on here and rip them for playing poorly against the team they should have beaten. That's going to happen. But when you look at the macro of the program, things are looking very good for Indiana in the future. Does it sustain? We don't know. You can't predict that. But it feels like, as I said earlier, there is hope for the first time in a long time that things are heading in the right direction.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to point out, several of you pointed out, but the leadership, I really like the point guards getting us into offense without necessarily looking back. They do look back at times. Every point guard does. But the two times teams have changed from man-to-man to zone early in this season, the point guards pointed right away, and we got the ball into the high post and got a high-low one time for a dunk, got a kick-out three for Rob Finnessy, who's in Coach Adranya's film room. If you're not subscribed, go subscribe to that. There's some really good stuff in there. I've noticed Rob is more aggressive with his body language. I know he struggled last night, but in the previous two games, that fun, all of that stuff you guys are talking about, I agree with that tremendously. It's just a different vibe, and I'm looking forward to witnessing that too. Robot asked about the Big Ten. We kind of answered that in between segments. Encourage you to go back, talk about our thoughts about the Big Ten. Luke asks, should we change the starting lineup since we seem to be getting more production out of some of our bench guys compared to starters, Bates and Geronimo compared to Stewart and Kopp? I would at least switch Bates and Stewart, but maybe he's out there because of defense compared to Bates and so forth. Ryan, I'll throw that to you. Is it at a point where you need to change the starting lineup in your mind, yes or no?
No. No, I think that those guys have been chosen for a reason. If you look at, they're all veteran, they're all older, they know how to handle the start of a game. Maybe you got Kopp, you've got Stewart, you've got TJD, you've got Race, and you've got Xavier Johnson. Three of those guys are transfers who have had success elsewhere. There's a reason those guys are starting. There's a reason you leave the freshman on the bench. Let him come in. Let Bates be an energy guy, and if he gives you offense like he did last night, great. But you know, let his attitude be infectious. I think the starting lineup is exactly what it should be. I think it's what we predicted all offseason, and I think that it's the right one. I don't think there's any reason to change it. You might want to change your usage of the bench, as we've talked about. I think that they need to use the bench more. I think guys like Geronimo need to play more. You need to get Bates. I mean, Bates played 27 minutes last night, which was more than I thought he was going to play. But again, Galloway was out. There was, you know, mitigating factors there. But yes, I think the starting lineup is what it is for a reason. I think it should stay.
Chris?
Yeah, and as a fourth grade basketball coach right now, my son's team, I can say we have lineups and rotations for a reason. And yeah, you know, a guy like Parker Stewart does not transfer to IU to come off the bench. Okay, let's just face it. He is poised out there. I know he's not shooting as well, but my guy, the guy's poised. He's a basketball player. He's a coach's son. You could tell he knows what he's doing out there. I understand that there may be some concerns about shot selection, but they you know, I'm not an coach like obviously Woodson and his staff are, but they have a system in place where the rotations are designed specifically at certain times of the game. And that's been the case for a long time. So I'm not worried about it. If we have consistent issues with turnovers and, yeah, Stewart's shooting 20% from three or whatever, okay, maybe we address that during Big Ten season as it needs. But right now you're still figuring out your rotations, and that's why you have all these sub-200 KenPom teams coming up for that very reason, to figure out rotations. We saw it in the Northern Illinois game. We saw it in the Eastern Michigan game. This is why guys like Michael Durr are still only playing a few minutes, because they're still rehab. This is the purpose for why you play these types of games in the preseason, for this very reason. I'm trusting the system. I'm trusting what Woodson's doing. You know, I don't have the know-how or the knowledge to question it anyway. So,
yeah, I don't think you make changes right now. I had the privilege for Delphi Bracketology to go to that other place that you guys don't like, Purdue, and Coach Painter was asked why he brought Trevion Williams off the bench, and he said, well, when we recruit players, we don't recruit players to come to Purdue to start. We recruit them to come to help Purdue win, and I would believe that Coach Woodson has that same attitude. You're here as a member of the Indiana basketball team. You're here to help us win, and your roles are important, and I believe Coach Woodson, I'm not in there, but I believe he's a great communicator. He's just a no-nonsense communicator, and people will understand their roles. So I don't think it's at the point yet, and I think it's too quick to pull the trigger on a starting lineup right now. And what you want to do is have waves. You know, your first wave does one thing well. Your second unit comes in, maybe his defensive effort can press, get some turnovers, and do some things. So you are trying to figure out what those waves look like and what's the appropriate time. And I agree with Ryan that you need to have a little more substitution earlier in the game so that, we don't get tired. I think that's the common theme for the first two games. Scott asks real quick, and I'll take this real quick so we can move forward to another one. Landon and Leo need to get some more playing time prior to Big Ten. I do think that the games coming up, the next three games, you'll see some guys get some playing time as Coach Woodson attempts to find out who can fill Galloway's spot. So I assume that is going to be the answer will be yes, we agree. Here's a non-basketball one, which I think is real good. Dave asks, if you could have Mike Woodson coach you in only one non-basketball area of your life, what would you choose? Ryan, you want to take that first? Non-basketball.
Voice lessons. I love that guy's voice. Yeah. That's what I'm going with.
Chris?
Yeah. I think the communication, like if you want – you need to work on leadership with a group of people, I think he's the – you know, like he's – yeah, he's just a communication factor. If you have a situation where you're not communicating with a significant other or a group of people, I would be in for that kind of like those life skills lessons. But yeah, the voice has got to come with it though. Yeah, it's tremendous.
There are so many real serious things that you could have Coach Woodson help you with, but I wanted to see about how, you know, he takes care of his scalp and his hair, some of that stuff, and teach me how to talk in third person. Those are some things that'll the fun things that Coach Woodson could teach us. So Glenn, who helped me hardwire the computer, but obviously can't do anything about the internet that comes into the house. But thank you, Glenn, for helping me try to get a little bit better. He asks, given what you've seen in the first three games, does Race Thompson earn a spot on the Big Ten all-defensive team by seasons? And we'll just throw this one just to you, Ryan, because you follow Race quite a bit, a big fan. Is he an all-Big Ten defensive team for you?
I think there's a good chance. I predicted one of my bold predictions this year is that he'd make an all-Big Ten team. If it's all-Big defense, I think I get credit for that.
Yep.
I do.
I'm on record.
So yeah. I think he could certainly do that. The way he affects a game on that end is huge, and he's starting to affect the game, on the other end too. And so I do think there's a real possibility of that.
Chris, Rodney asks, is it a concern that two out of the three games we didn't put teams away when we had them down and let them back in the second half? Do you think that's a concern, or what level are you concerned about those second half lost leads?
Yeah, I think if you get on some of those Facebook pages and you follow some of those people, then yeah, you're probably already Tuesday scenario and that we're not going to be able to play with anybody. But no, it's about the fact that, again, you're looking at I can't even go down that road. But anyways, it's the fact that you're still figuring out a brand new scheme, a brand new team, a lot of new players, a lot of new transfers, a new coaching staff. You're figuring stuff out, okay? Everybody wants to point out that Bob Knight, da-da-da, in the first season, and they went, and then, you know, they went to the Final Four. I get that. I know that everybody wants to use that comparison, but we can't, okay? The game's different now. The schemes are different. The players are different. The style's different. It'll be fine. Yes, was I a little concerned when I heard we were up by 20 against Eastern Michigan and we had to basically cling on because one of their guys got hot from three and we weren't playing great defense? Yeah, but I'm okay with it. Figure it out. We're getting schemes and systems. The fact that we didn't falter when we let the lead drop last night and we came back and clawed back is something we haven't seen a lot in the last couple of years. So, okay, I'm fine with it. I'm not worried one bit.
Ryan?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's the kind of thing where the team has to grow. The team has to be together, and it has to take time. And again, a lot of these guys haven't played together before. It's going to take time. I don't think it's a concern. I think it's just something they have to improve on. Now, if it happens in five games, six games, maybe you start to see a pattern. But two out of they've played three games. In two of them, they got up big and relaxed, and which a lot of teams have a tendency to do. So it's not unique to Indiana. So not really concerning yet, until it becomes a serious pattern. But right now, I think Indiana is just trying to find its way and figure out, you know, how to how to play as a team. And that's going to take some time. That's why you play a non-conference schedule. It's to develop your team. Non-conference schedule does not determine your season. What determines your season is how well you do in the conference portion of it. And then you move on to the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament. That's where you want to be peaking. So early on, this stuff is all about just getting together and getting on the same page.
Yeah, the pattern piece is interesting to me, too, because if you're going to talk about those two games, you got to talk about game two where they put people away. So there was an example of Indiana being able to do that. I did not like the loss lead in game one. That really soured me, and I was disappointed. I thought Indiana would be further along, even though you're right, they have to grow and they're coming together. Last night's lost lead, I just attributed to that is so tough when you're playing a good pressing team to maintain 40 minutes of high-level basketball. And what really made me relax was every time there was a rush, we shut it down. There was no long drought. There was no 15 minutes where you gave up, 17-2 runs. The runs were 6 or 7, stopped, matched by one of our runs, another run of St. John's, matched by ours. So the response, as some of you have mentioned, have been good. And Chris, back to you. Does IU Artifacts own a Harris? I am going to mess this up. Musid, whatever. How do you pronounce it?
Zinovich.
Yeah. Do you own his mask?
Moyer Zinovich, yep.
Yeah, do you own a mask? Yeah, is that on your radar?
If you don't know the backstory, he broke his nose and he wears this Jason horror film-inspired hockey mask in a couple games. You can find it on the IU archives. But it is literally the scariest thing you'll ever see. No, that's not on my radar. I know Harris. He lives here in Bloomington. He's a very successful businessman. He's a very guy. I bet he has never even thought about that, nor would he know where it is. But no, that's not up my alley. No.
Sorry, Harris, to not be able to pronounce your name, but thanks for what you did for Indiana basketball.
That's it. We're done. No more questions.
All right, so that'll do us for this week's episode of Assembly Call Radio. If you want to see us do the show live, join us at assemblycall.com on Thursday nights for the live broadcast of our Assembly Call Radio recording. Thanks to Bob Thompson for producing our music, and thanks to John Ringer of RiggsDesigns.com for designing our logos. Oops, let me read the rest. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week or sooner if anything breaks. Until then.
Take it from me, Yogi Ferrell. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
You might get beat today, but each day you got to get better.
So there was a page break in there. That's
it.
I didn't scroll down. It was down below.
I won't be here, but there is a show on Sunday, just to remind everybody. After the post for a post game show, so
yeah, we probably
you guys should be right after that.
Yeah, we probably needed
guys. I'm sorry, but I have got to leave. Something.
Get out of here, buddy. Get out. Head, get so out when you need.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll see you, Chris. Thanks.
See you guys.
Yep. Yeah, we probably should have done a Louisiana scouting report, but again, I know I do bracketology, but I do who won and who lost. I don't necessarily study the teams, but Louisiana will not That's be. It'll be a good test. It's a 200 level team. Indiana needs to play well, and I think they will. This team, it'll have its down moments, but we're headed in the right direction, don't you think so, Ryan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wrote about it. It's just there's momentum in the right direction. All right, Coach.
Everybody, thank you guys. We'll see you down the road. If you have a chance to run into me Sunday, come say hello. I'll be way up in the rafters in section K, but I'll be in the hall. We'll see you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Hoosiers.com.